The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey, it's Gunnar Esiason. Thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 10 of the Making It Matter podcast series, CF Nutrition.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julie and I both have cystic fibrosis, we're remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis and Vertex Pharmaceuticals, so thanks to them. We want to talk about CF nutrition here tonight, or today rather. It's obviously a huge part of CF care, and it's not one that we've talked about. And it's also one that I think we'll come back to definitely as the podcast series goes on. It's definitely very, very important. It's really half the disease in a lot of ways. So I want to go over that today. Julia, why don't we get into it? I know Julia and I both have very different experiences with this. Julia is pancreatic sufficient, whereas I am pancreatic insufficient, meaning my pancreas does not digest foods properly like hers does.
Yeah, and actually that was something that we discovered not until I was in early grammar school years. So for a while I was taking enzymes and on a high calorie diet. And then we discovered that my pancreas does in fact work. So, I mean, diet and nutrition. Yeah, right. After I was fed potato chips for breakfast for 8 years.
Yeah, the high calorie diet is definitely something when you talk to anyone with CF, that's probably the one thing that is always brought up. I can definitely see how that must have been quite a change of pace for you. Because when I was growing up, for breakfast, it was all about just making sure that I was eating something. I was always underweight. I was always, you know, hovering around the, that below 50% tile and, the little graph thing that they always have.
Yeah.
The doctors have the graph that shows you, like, where your weight is compared to the rest of the country or whatever. For me, I was always on the lower end of that graph. And nutrition was definitely talked about at every single doctor's visit. My parents put a huge emphasis on that. I remember going to get ice cream or milkshakes almost every single day after school. My parents really tried to figure out different ways to get fat into my diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I actually can remember being in that mode with my family. And I also remember my doctors being so surprised that I was growing taller and that I was gaining weight as a child who was pancreas sufficient would on that diet. It's only 15% of the CF population is pancreatic sufficient. So I know that I have a different experience, but I also know that my doctors continue to stress the importance of diet and nutrition and lung function. I think they both go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the nutrition in a lot of ways is definitely intertwined with the rest of the health of the body. In a lot of ways, it definitely goes hand in hand with lung function. I definitely know that when I'm getting sick or if I feel like I'm going to get sick, a major indicator of that is my weight. If my weight's going down, then there's definitely something I have to look out for. And in a lot of ways, for me, I can control my weight because I have a feeding tube. I know how to go up weight. I know how to really go up weight if I'm going down, and I know how to maintain my weight if I have to. I've had the feeding tube now for a little over 5 years. So that's definitely an added benefit to the feeding tube, as much as it can be annoying or a nuisance. But I love it. It's been great. As my weight's gone up since having it placed, I've seen my lung function go back up, and I've had some real added benefits that I never even considered, like sort of unintended consequences, if that's a word that can be, that's appropriate for this. And in fact, I've done a bunch of videos regarding my feeding tube. So if you want to check those out, those are on the website. I'll be sure to put a link to that at the bottom here.
Yeah, I'm sure your energy has been affected by that. And I mean, I know all of that's affected for me too. I know, you know, certain like whole foods and, you know, making sure I'm getting the right foods.
That's
always affects the way I feel.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between going to McDonald's, right? And then going to the organic aisle in the grocery store. You know, there's like, you're going to drink soda or you're going to drink coconut water or something. I hate coconut water. I just put that in my feeding tube. But that's the other part of my issue growing up is I was such a picky eater. Whether or not that's related to heavy antibiotic use, steroid use, that like the constant use of prednisone that I've had to endure. I always have like little thrush infections in my mouth. So those are like, you know, who knows, that's played a role in my pickiness as an eater. I eat like a 5-year-old, as my friends like to say. I eat, you know, my go-to is like pizza or meat or like red meat, burgers, hot dogs, steaks if I can. Yeah, those are like, that's it. Those are big parts of my diet. I'm definitely a meat and potatoes kind of guy, or like a barbecue guy. But I will not stray too far from that. Like, I hate salad. I will not eat a salad. I hate fruits. I will not eat fruit. Like, vegetables are not a thing that I can deal with. But so what I do is I put all that stuff into a smoothie or a shake in the morning, and I just throw it down my feeding tube. The feeding tube really acts as another mouth.
Right. So you get the nutrients that you need.
I get
just
it.
Not.
Yes, exactly. I get it the scientific
way. You're a little cheater.
Yes, I get it the scientific way. I'm not doing it the old-fashioned way through my mouth.
Right.
Because who wants to do that? Who wants to waste energy chewing food and swallowing it? It's too much effort. Where I can just put it into a blender and put it into my stomach over 5 minutes. That's probably the way that I do it. And it works for me. You know, I think nutrition is definitely one of those things that's like, I don't know. It's definitely one of those things that for some people, certain food groups work, and for other people, it doesn't. You know, when I grew up, I ate ice cream for breakfast. I ate cookies and milk for breakfast. Like, that was the way my parents tried to get calories into me. Whereas rest of my friends were not eating that diet growing up. So that was definitely a little bit of I don't want to say strange, but it was different. It was different going over for like a sleepover or something like that, and then being expected to eat the same foods that my friends were eating after having not had that at my own
house. Yeah, I think it's especially different for those that are trying to get in the high calorie diet. That's a huge difference from their friends in that regard too.
Yeah. I mean, it was like that in college too. It's been like that at basically every point of my life. If you talk to any one of my friends that's, you know, been eating with me, or any of my family members that, you know, has shared a meal with me, like, they know that what I eat is definitely different in a lot of ways. And it's one of those things that we have to figure out how to, as someone with CF, that I've had to figure out how to conquer and get past.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely a unique situation in a lot of ways.
For sure. Yeah. And I think it is individual to every CF patient too, how they get those calories and nutrition. And I think it's important to use your resources, you know, on your CF team, talk to your nutritionist or dietitian and make the best plan.
Yeah, the nutritionist is extremely helpful, especially for fed people. You know, as soon as I got the feeding tube placed, it's like all of a sudden you're faced with a whole different set of circumstances. As far as I'm concerned, the feeding tube is probably the easiest thing that I do compared to the rest of the normal treatment regimen of cystic fibrosis. The feeding tube is by far the easiest thing that I do. But it's a whole new world. You know, you're all of a sudden you're looking at calories and you're looking at what's going in the tube, where the food's coming from, what's in, you know, what you're breaking down the food by sugar, carbohydrates, proteins, fats. Like, all of a sudden you have to look at all these different things. You know, I try to get 5,000 calories in a day when I'm gaining weight, which is insane. That is a ridiculous amount of calories. And it's definitely not easy, but it's, the feeding tube does make it less of a challenge.
Right. Yeah. And it is important to know what's going into your body, and making those decisions is helpful with your team. And that's what they're there for. And,
but on the inverse side too, it's also important to watch the negative things that are going into your body too.
Yeah.
Because as we know, there's CF-related diabetes on the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, are you drinking too many Gatorades or too many sodas? I'm probably in that category myself. I'm lucky enough not to have CF diabetes, but there are people who, once they start taking too many sugars, their body reacts differently, and then next thing you know, they have CFRD.
Yeah.
And that's a whole another set of challenges. You know, that's that's just an entire different world.
That's why it is such an important topic to talk about and keep in the forefront of your mind as part of your care, because it not only affects your lung function, I think, but it affects your body as a whole. I mean, you have to be aware of what you're putting into your body and fueling it in the right ways as best you can.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways it's like anything else in life. There's moderation, or there's you have to be aware of what you're doing. And I think the goal of this podcast series is here to enter the mind of someone with CF and talk about it. And these are, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I concern myself with what I'm eating at every single moment of the day, because that would be ridiculous. I'm aware of what I'm ingesting, or I'm aware of, you know, how many negative things I'm putting to my body, whether that's, you know, going to fast food or drinking sodas or, you know, those are.
Well, and it shouldn't be all consuming. It shouldn't be something that's just like constantly haunting you, but it should be something you feel well educated on so that you can make the best choices for your body.
Educating yourself is what needs to happen. You have to be able to feel confident in the choices that you're making. And the only way that you're going to feel confident is by learning how to manage these things correctly. I think confidence comes with experience and time, you know,
and knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. The way I use my feeding tube now compared to the way I used it the first 3 months that I had it is completely different.
Right.
You know, I think I underutilized it. Like, the way I see my feeding tube now is like it's a tool that I have to make myself better or give myself the opportunity to be as successful as possible. You know, I don't look at it as a hindrance, or I don't get frustrated with it. I think the feeding tube at the end of the day is something that's there to help me. And it's also something that's there to be utilized to the fullest of my ability.
Yep. And that's your experience and your, you know, your learning through your own individual like experience as you go along, kind of thing. So I think it's important to learn for yourself what works for you. Whether you're a parent working with your child on their diet and nutrition, just like understanding what works well for them is important.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, I think obviously the way that I use my feeding tube compared to someone else with CF, or somebody else that has a feeding tube without CF may use it. You know, obviously cancer patients have to use it, people who have strokes, things of that nature. It's definitely very flexible in the sense that it can accomplish many goals at the same time. And what I put through my feeding tube is, I'll be sure to put a link to the blog here with a few of my recipes on here, but I make sure that I change what I'm doing and how I'm using it. You know, that's always an evolving sort of process.
Yeah. I think as we learn, it just kind of evolves anyway for all of us. So,
I mean, what you're eating today is going to be different than what you're eating in hopefully 5-10 years. You know, those.
Yes, hopefully.
The diet or
except
your
5-year-old Gunner.
Yes, yeah. I've been eating the same thing for 25 years. I'm eating chicken fingers and barbecue ribs and
grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese, Cheerios, like things like that.
Well, that's
honestly it's a blessing and a curse, really.
As we close out with grilled cheese and Cheerios.
Yes.
That's all the time we have for today. But thank you for tuning in. And we always end with our Making It Matter segment, where we feature someone in the CF community that is making it matter for the rest of us with CF. And someone that I've always looked up to is Emily from Emily's Entourage. I'm sure many of you have heard of Emily's Entourage since 2011, when Emily put out her first video on social media. Her nonprofit organization has raised over $2 million. And we spoke a lot about individualized care today, as that's a big part of diet and nutrition, is precision medicine based on you, your own care and how you respond. Emily is a White House champion of change as part of the Precision Medicine Initiative. So thank you so much to Emily for all of her dedication and hard work in making strides to cure CF and also just raise awareness and get the word out. She does an amazing job of that.
Yes, awesome job, Emily. It's quite the title from the White House. That is like a, if you have a title that's more than like three or four words long, then you know you're in business. So she's definitely accomplishing that much. And obviously raising the word, getting the word out there, and raising huge amounts of money for CF. As we all know, that every single dollar raised is really, really important at the end of the day. So for those of you listening out there, make sure you keep fundraising because we obviously need it. But thanks for tuning in today for the 10th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarSiason.com or JuliaRay.com. You can also now subscribe to us on iTunes, which is really cool. Make sure you do that. Julia, have you subscribed yet?
I've subscribed and I followed our Instagram account at MakingItMatter_CF. You should all do the same. We post little snippets from our podcast and we also, well, I post inspirational quotes.
that is definitely a you thing. Yeah, definitely follow the Instagram account. We are hurting for followers, I'll be honest. Hopefully in a month or two, I won't have to say that. But yes, yeah. Definitely follow the Instagram. Subscribe on iTunes because eventually one day iTunes is just probably the best place to get this podcast because you can download it and then you can listen to it on your way to work, way home from work, when you're stuck in traffic. Everyone's miserable in traffic and you can listen to Julie and I while you're stuck in traffic or stuck in the subway or something like that. But definitely do that. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always email either of us. My email is gunnersblog@assassin.org. Or Julia, I always seem to forget her email, which is
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
The greatest email in the history of the world. Or you can send either of us a message on Facebook, leave us a comment. There's 900 million ways to get a hold of us, so make sure you utilize it. We read these things. We want to keep the podcast going for as long as we can, and we want to keep it as fun and entertaining as possible. And we want to make sure that we can give you what you want to hear. Otherwise, Julia and I just have to ramble about things that we come up with. So this is your chance to interact with us.
Yeah.
And give us something to talk about. So this is Gunnar Siason and Julia Ray signing off.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Till next time.